stress, fear, depression, spiritual warfare. Are you weighted down? Do you need refreshing? Welcome. Welcome, everyone, to the Warriors for Christ podcast, where we seek to uplift, edify, and encourage you to be light and salt in a dark and tasteless world with your host, Kyle.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Warriors for Christ podcast. I'm Kyle.
And I'm Sam.
And we're delighted that you folks are going to spend some time with us this wonderful morning.
Another wonderful, well, still the same Thursday morning. We just got done finishing 119. And now it's on to, is sin, or is a thought, can a thought be sin? Kyle, that's what I want to address today. And people, if you've heard me before, you would say that my answer is, well, yes. Well, I'm going to address, you know, as with all things, right, there's always exceptions, there's always it depends. So I'm going to address some of that because a conversation that came up recently that I had with someone, they were focused on all the exceptions that are few. They miss the forest through the trees. So we're going to look at that today.
All right. Well, with that, I'll open this in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Creator of the heavens and the earth, and all things therein. Father, we thank you so much for this time together. We thank you, O Lord God, for the truth of your word, the testimonies, all of your statutes, everything that your word says that is true. We're thankful for that. Father, we're thankful for the folks that are spending some time with us by listening to this episode. We pray, O Lord, in the name of Jesus, that they're able to listen and follow along in their word, and that they're able to understand what we cover. And Father, that it edify them, encourage them. And Father, we thank you that you're calling your children home. And we love you and we praise you and we thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen.
Amen. So Kyle, if you have a conversation with someone and you explain to them, listen, you know, God judges the thoughts and intentions of our heart. You know, we got to be pure in heart. We can't be having these sinful thoughts in our heart. They may say, but just to have a thought of sin in the heart, that doesn't necessarily mean it's sin. And they'll go through and they'll point out some examples. And so, yeah, you know, you're right. Let's look at some of those examples. One of those specifically being Jesus. Because people will say, well, wasn't Jesus angry? And another argument that was brought up was, well, what if you, you see a crime, right? You see a crime, an act of sin being committed by somebody else. Well, you saw it. Isn't that thought, that sinful crime, that thought now in your mind? Well, if that sinful thought is now in your mind, that crime is in your mind, that sin, it's a sinful thought. Well, are you now saying that that's sin? That's your sin? And that was actually one of the arguments that was brought up. It was, well, there's three ways thoughts can enter into your mind. One is through your five senses and the natural observances and interaction in the world that we live in, right? You know, sight, hearing, touch, smell, taste. You know, you go through your different senses. And that's true. That's a way that different thoughts and ideas and, you know, can enter into your mind. The other one, the person mentioned, you know, the Spirit of God can convict and plant thoughts. I agree. And then the other one was, you know, the devil or demons can do that. And I agree. You know,
so to that point, though, at least on part two there, the Spirit of God does not implant sinful thoughts in a person.
No, the Spirit of God won't. The fact that we live in a sinful world, your five senses, well, yeah, they'll pick up things that are wicked, and you'll perceive that.
But it doesn't mean that it emanates from your heart.
Well, and Kyle, that's the point. The one thing, so the person listed those three things,
mm-hmm.
The observances and interactions with the world through your five senses,
mm-hmm.
The Spirit of God, and demonic spirits.
That's right. Spirit of God doesn't lead us to sin,
but
so
Kyle,
that one's immediately shut down.
The most important thing that was not discussed, that was not listed, and this is where, right, you miss the forest through the trees.
Yeah.
was the person's own thoughts, your own desires. And people say, oh, but I have desires of good. Do you also have desires of bad? And see, that's the point that I want to highlight, because as you go through and you look at how God defines it, he's not looking at these other things. As a matter of fact, you know, we'll go through and I'll justify the person in the one statement that Jesus did not have sin, even though he had some of these certain thoughts, because they weren't from a defiled heart. And sadly, it really is sad, and it hurts that this person could not see this. They could not see, and they missed the most important thing that God looks at, which is your own heart.
That's right.
And this is somebody who leads other men. They're considered a leader, an elder. They actually have been ordained for decades. They've held that title. And yet this is their belief, and they miss the most important thing, which is what God speaks about, which is the heart. And do any of these bad thoughts originate from your own heart? So let's look at Christ first. We know, looking at the book of Hebrews, it says that Jesus lived a life without sin. So when you look at examples of Jesus, let's start in Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, something happened. Jesus was led out into a wilderness. Kyle, can you please read Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 3?
Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."
Yeah, go and read all the way through verse 11.
Okay. Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all of the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him, being Jesus.
So Kyle, when you look at that, to worship anybody other than God, or to serve anybody other than God, I'm looking at verse 10, looking at the last one that we just read.
Yep.
God says that would be sin.
That's right.
If you're worshiping anybody but God or serving any other thing but God, then that's sin.
That's right.
Now, Jesus didn't commit the sin, but if you wanted to get into semantics, you could say, but wasn't the thought in his mind? I mean, the devil put that thought in his mind. The devil spoke it. So obviously, if they spoke it and he heard it, then now the thought is in his mind. So therefore, according to your definition, he sinned. No, because was the thought and the desire.
And just to be clear, it wasn't my definition. This was someone else.
Yes. Yeah, not yours. So when you look at this, was this thought or desire, was it Jesus's?
No.
Did it come from Jesus's heart, or did it come from external?
It was external.
It was external. And that's what I try to point out. If when you struggle with sin, when you look at something and you see something, what do your own thoughts say? Not your thoughts because somebody else said something and you heard it. No, what does your heart say? Now, some of you are probably thinking, well, I have both, you know, because I'll have the temptation, like my own thought of like lust or desire or coveting, which is typically what you find, right, in your heart. All things come from the heart.
for those that are with
but the then the word of God, if you read the word of God, you may be convicted in the mind of then the scripture that would contradict it. The problem is you're warring against yourself. You see, Jesus was warring against the devil. We war against ourselves. You know, this gets back into, and we did an episode on temptation. And we started in the book of James. And we did four parts on it. The first one was understanding temptation. In the Bible, when God talks about temptation, he says, you know, when you're tempted by your own desires. It's your own desires that are tempted you. Don't say when any man is tempted, I'm being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does God tempt anyone or test anyone. Well, that's in a context. We actually go through, you find out that God does test. It says in the Old and the New Testament that God tests. The word test, tempt, it's the same word that's the same word, but translated in English into two different words. I don't know why, because they just wanted to use two different words, but it's the same word. We did an episode on that. Actually, God says he does test. He does tempt. Is the Bible contradicting itself? No, because when you keep reading that passage in James, it's James chapter 1, I think it's like verse 14 to 13 to 14, somewhere in there, 13 to 15. But he says, each one's tempted by his own desires, implying as he goes on to sin. God doesn't tempt you to lead you into sin. God tempts or tests you to find out what's in your heart. And that's the principle that you got to understand. We did more of that in the episode, Understanding Temptation. We go much more in depth on that.
I'm going to go ahead and read it. It's James 1, 13 to 15. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then, when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death.
Yep. And so the whole context there was, you know, sin, the result of sin is death. Where does sin come from? Well, ultimately, sin comes from the desires in our heart. That word is epithumia. It's the desire or the lust in the heart. It's the bad lust, the bad desires that exist in the heart. That's where sin comes from, and that's the result and the cause of our death. When you look at another passage for Jesus in chapter, still in Matthew. I'm going to turn to Matthew chapter 16. And in verse 1 through verse 4.
The Pharisees and Sadducees came up, and testing Jesus, they asked him to show them a sign from heaven. But he replied to them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, there will be a storm today, for the sky is red and threatening. Do you know how to discern the appearance of the sky, but cannot discern the signs of the times? An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and a sign will not be given it except the sign of Jonah. And he left them and went away.
So again, right, you have a thought, right? Jesus is upset with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And accordingly, in his mind, he's like, you know, you guys are an evil and adulterous generation, right? So you could say, oh, here it is again, right? Jesus, he has isn't that an evil thought in his mind? Because it's not his thought, but it is a thought. His thought of is observing these wicked people. So obviously, you know, any wickedness is sin and bad. So surely, isn't that a sinful thought in his mind? Therefore, is Jesus sinning? And again, right, some of you might be thinking, okay, Sam, it's such a stupid argument. Why are we even talking about this? Well, because people come up with these stupid and ridiculous arguments justify. It blows my mind because this person that I'm referring to, Kyle, they are an extremely smart individual with a very high level IQ in the eyes of the world. They're a very wise man. And with a ton of wealth of knowledge of the Bible, a ton.
But seems but to be twisting it
there. Kyle, the problem is it's they're in the eyes of God and the wisdom of God, they're a foolish, ignorant person.
Yeah, and let's just
like
put this,
the Pharisees and Sadducees, Kyle. It's the same thing.
Let's put this into context. This is an example where Jesus is seeing with his eyes an evil and adulterous generation that seeks after a sign, and he not only sees them as evil and adulterous, but he's actually saying that they're evil and adulterous.
That's right.
And yet, they're trying, sinning.
This is their sin, his sin.
Exactly. It didn't emanate from him, so I can't even understand
it's
that
silly
argument.
It's silly that I even have to talk about
this. I know.
Kyle, this has come up several times now.
This is embarrassing.
It is. It should be embarrassing. But Kyle, a lot of people, when you're so focused on defending yourself, you become blind to the Word of God, even though they start using the Word of God to defend their point. And that's for everybody who's listening. We got to be careful. And you got to make sure. If you're defending something, are you starting to contradict yourself in other parts of Scripture and you don't even realize it? It can be a scary thing, Kyle.
Well, they're mishandling the Word of God, and that's a sad thing.
Mark, let's go to Mark chapter 3, verse 5. Let's do another one.
Okay, Jesus is looking around. Okay, so verse 5 through 13?
Let me see. All right, so here's the background backdrop on this. When you go through, go ahead and read verse 1 through verse what, 5. 1 through 5.
He entered again into a synagogue, and a man was there whose hand was withered. They were watching him to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. He said to the man with the withered hand, "Get up and come forward." And he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or to kill?" But they kept silent. After looking around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored.
Now, Kyle, now here we actually have Jesus was angry. Now, some of you have heard me say, if you have the anger of man, God's going to accuse you of murder. Not only that, the anger of man cannot work the righteousness of God. But that person, God says, and this is James chapter 1, I think it's verse 19 to 21. It says, "But this you know, beloved, everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man cannot work the righteousness of God."
Anger of man.
Anger of man. And then he tells the problem, or tells the person who has the struggle with anger of man, what the problem is in the very next verse. He says, "You must remove all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, and in humility you must receive the word implanted,
which is able to save your soul."
Which is able to save your soul, because they hadn't received the word implanted yet. Their soul was not being saved yet. And again, this person was focused on, Jesus had anger. Jesus had anger.
He had a righteous anger.
The Bible even commands in Ephesians chapter 4.
Be angry and sin not.
Be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down in the anger. Don't give the devil an opportunity. Well, it's not talking about the anger of man. It's talking about God's righteous anger. God has a righteous anger. God hates sin. God hates injustice. But it's a righteous anger. Now, it's not to be construed with, somebody did something to me, they wronged me, so I'm angry, not just because the person sinned, but I'm angry because, really, where most people get angry, Kyle, is because somebody had the audacity to offend them.
That's right.
They were wrong.
They were reviled.
Kyle, I used to get angry when people wronged me. I would have an anger of man in my mind. I thought it was a righteous anger. But now I know the real reason why I was wrong was because they did it to me. If they had done it to somebody else, I would have been like, that's not right. That person sinned. But I wouldn't have had the anger that I had it been done to me. Kyle, that's one of the things you know. Like today, since God has changed my heart, I'll see things that were wrong, like wicked. The difference is this. Old Sam, right? Leader in the church, servant of God, faith in Christ. If an injustice was done, but it was done to me, I would have been burning with anger. But if it was done to somebody else, I might be upset, and say, that's wrong. That person was wrong. But I wouldn't have had the passion and the emotions that I had had it been done to me. Yeah, case in point. You have people who they get robbed. And you're like, wow, yeah, that's not good. But imagine if your house was robbed, completely looted, everything taken. Is your emotions going to be the same as if it happened to somebody else that you read in a newspaper?
Or somebody comes and murders
your child. Are you going to have the same anger than as if you read an article that you have every day across the country? Someone's being a child's being murdered.
Well, you've spoken an example that I can relate to, Sam. I've given my testimony. It was March 21st of 2021 that the Lord truly gave me a baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Lord gave me a brand new heart. But with it, from that period forward, I had my truck broken into, and someone stole cash that I kept in the place between the seats, and the old Kyle would have been incredibly upset about that. I would have felt incredibly offended. And instead, it's strange. And people that know me, the old me would have said, wow, this is just shocking of you. Because I looked at it, I was like, wow, I'm just so grateful that they didn't damage anything. They took the money. The money is replaceable. But they left the rest of my truck intact. And I was grateful that that was all that happened. And the old man would have been setting up cameras all over the place. They would have been trying to catch who this was, asking questions, but no, I'm just grateful that my truck wasn't damaged.
Yeah. And really what it gets down to, Kyle, is when I look at my life and the difference is before, right, you're really passionate, angry. Now, when stuff like that happens, whether it's to me or somebody else, I have the same emotion, the same response. It's an anger at the person's, well, really, it's even different. It's almost like people who aren't even a Christian and they're struggling with sin and they don't even know the truth. It's almost like a compassion on them.
Yeah.
Even when they wrong me, it's this person just doesn't know. They're lost and they're blinded. They can't even help themselves. When it's somebody who's a quote calling themselves a Christian, they're going doing it. It's more of a more intense anger, even as Christ, because it's like you're sitting there, you hypocrite, you hypocrite, you hypocrite. It's like the scribes and the Pharisees, and a lot of people don't realize that that's how God sees most self-professing Christians. The last one I want to cover with Jesus that just jumped into my head is John. I think it's chapter 2. If it's not there, then we won't cover it. But John chapter 2, when Jesus got a whip and when anger was going through whipping the people.
Cleansing the temple, yeah.
Cleansing the temple. Ah, okay, yes. So, Kyle, if you will read John chapter 2, let's go verse 12 through verse 17.
After this, he went down to Capernaum. He and his mother and his brothers and his disciples, and they stayed there a few days. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who were selling oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. And he made a scourge of cords, and drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who were selling the doves, he said, "Take these things away. Stop making my Father's house a place of business." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me."
So here, I'm sure Jesus went around. He was not happy. He was angry. And he was moved by the Spirit of God that was in him to go and start throwing over tables and money. And, there's other passages.
Built a whip and beat them with it.
Built a whip and started whipping people and animals to drive them out. Again, most of that today, people would say, man, that person is like an out of control rage lunatic possessed by a demon. Because they just don't understand. But Jesus didn't commit sin.
He had a righteous anger.
It was a righteous anger. It wasn't the anger of man.
He saw that the temple had been turned into a business.
That's right.
I wonder what the cut was for the priests.
So, Kyle, with this, because I want to keep this one short, I don't want to, you know, because the next one's going to be longer as we talk about is thought of sin. So I'm going to end this one here. This is going to be part one. Part two, there could even be part three, is going to now look at the other aspect of, okay, so when does it become a sin? Like, when does anger or these other things become a sin, right? Because the question is, as we establish, is it really from your heart? This stuff didn't reside in Jesus's heart. It was all external. And if he had anger, it was a righteous anger of God by the Spirit of God, not the anger of man because he was being wronged, you know, as natural man thinks. So with that, why don't we close in prayer, and then we'll restart here and we'll do part two, continuing this discussion.
Okay.
Father, I thank you for your word. And I pray, oh God, as we go through your word, that people realize there's a lot of silly and foolish arguments in the world. And sadly, a lot of these foolish arguments are to justify people's life of sin that's still in it, because they cannot comprehend or accept the fact that just maybe, you may look at them, and even though this person believes, they confess Jesus as Lord, your son as Lord, that your son's going to say to them in that day, depart from me, I don't know you, because it continued with sin, iniquity, or lawlessness. Father, I pray that people be convicted by this. As we continue in your word, they'll understand what the real issue is. It's going to come back to the heart. Do they still have that desperately wicked heart that every man is born into the world with? Or was it removed? Was it circumcised? Do they receive a new heart and a new spirit, which is the promise from the very beginning, the promise of the Holy Spirit that you desire to give? I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
If you enjoyed the program, consider subscribing and sharing with your friends. Thanks for listening.